Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast 386's After Show with cupcakes and sub sandwiches. That's what Mike out on the board said.
We should have cupcakes and sub. I have neither of those in my house right now.
And I had a full dinner, so I don't want one now, but cupcakes and sandwiches do sound like a good
plan. I could have a full dinner and still have a cupcake. There's always room for a cupcake.
All right. Well, we're going to touch on some after show topics. Holy cow, you guys are on top of it. Thank you for submitting. Luke Turnbull coming in from Australia. Lots of Australia conversation earlier tonight with Jen Allen, but he has given us a list. Holy cow, is there a comment here too or no? After show topics. WIFDIF virtual DG event on Disc Golf Valley. Is that a thing or you want it to become a thing?
No, that is a thing. A week ago, the WIFDIF introduced the 2022 Virtual Sport World Team Disc Golf Championship.
Rolls right off the tongue.
It really does. I actually listened. I don't know much about WIFDIF, to be honest, but mm-hmm. I did listen to a little bit about on one of the other podcasts talking about kind of this is the type of stuff that they have to do in order to keep moving, and it's COVID and this and that. So they are doing a Disc Golf Valley team challenge, I believe. So there's a bunch of information on the PDGA website. You can go out there and take a look, and you'll have all the information you need to have the virtual disc golf competition championship thingamabobber.
Okay. So. Obviously not necessarily my bag, so to speak, but no, sounds fun.
Disc Golf Valley was fun. It is fun. I play on occasion. I probably haven't played in a month or month and a half. It's like any video game. It's a little bit discouraging when when it is so far. Like, to me, this is a disc golf game, and it gets to be almost so far from real disc golf.
Oh, like, just because of options and...
It's the cool thing is you have 1,000 selections, but it feels like, oh, this person's walking up to 130-footer, they're going to drain it every time.
Oh, sure.
Because you have the perfect shot in this and that. And so, to me, it was kind of like, I don't need, you know, simulation realism, but to watch, for the most part, people drain a lot of those things, I feel like this... Like, thinking about this WIFDIF thing, I'm like, is it going to be one big tide? Everyone's shooting 18 under or more than that? I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see. I did fall off of Disc Golf Valley a while ago.
Okay. And speaking of taking bogeys, apparently I'm being updated, and this is a tangent to our podcast, but I'm being updated that I had accidentally earlier tonight uploaded the front nine twice to the Chase card coverage that I had put together. So I'm going to get that fixed. And in fact, I'm going to be able to do that in just a few moments. So, but yes, thank you.
Is that what you did when you rushed in here? Yeah. Like, oh, crap, I need to upload
I had the
this.
Front nine uploaded. And I said to you, like, oh, I really wanted to get the back nine
That's
up.
That's one way to double up your views,
yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised, actually, that YouTube didn't catch it in some crazy way. Yeah. Usually it would catch you and warn you about that. So thank you for the people that updated me. I'm going to delete the second version of the front nine, even though it's the same thing, and get the back nine up for you right away. Anyway, that's a side note to that.
Alan Risley pointing out that AJ was on the Understable Minds podcast today talking about his new role with Dynamic Discs. He's stepping into the media role. Or a media role, not the media role, but he's stepping into a media role where he'll be doing, I think, podcast stuff, video editing, just a whole gamut of media at Dynamic Discs. I didn't get a chance to fully listen to the podcast as it was live today. I stepped in just for a few moments, but AJ Risley moving to a different avenue in our sport right now.
So then I guess that begs a question. And since I didn't watch it, nor did Johnny, and you're right here for us, Alan, and you're his daddy. Does that mean we're not going to see AJ playing golf? Is that the foregone conclusion? Is that what we can draw from that? Was that flat out said one way or another?
Yeah,
and then where is he with his injury?
I don't know where he is with his injury. He had said, the portion that I caught had said that at the end of last year, because he got back on tour last year, he came home and his wrist was very, very sore. Or still hurt, so to speak. I do believe that, I hate to say it, but I think we've seen the end of AJ Risley's full-time tour status. I don't think he's going to stop playing. He'll probably still play some of the bigger events as they come around Kansas, but he's a media guy now. He will be, you know, GBO, he'll probably be doing filming or editing or something like that. He may not play those type of events, as I think he's now moved to Emporia.
Okay.
So I think we've...
Well, helping with that move, Johnny V in the official swear jar, calling it the GBO, put a dollar in it. Dynamic Disc Open.
DDO, my bad. We got so good with MVP and
just when
Vibram
we get it down, they
Maple
change
Hill.
It.
But,
I know.
But now,
I know.
But now I got to go with DDO. You're right.
Yeah. So, well, we wish you the best of luck, and hopefully we'll get some details on all of that. Today I was in full-blown edit mode, and so I didn't consume really anything outside, especially even outside new, like Ray tells us. Microsoft, does he say, made a $70 billion purchase. I don't know that kind of money. $70 billion
I'm gonna get a portion
dollar
of that.
Purchase of Activision and Blizzard, and that's because you have a Microsoft stock or Activision stock.
Okay. I've had it for four or five years. I think I bought it about 50 a share way back when. I think I have 30 shares of Activision stock. And this morning, a good friend of ours who follows stocks very closely messaged me, and he's like, didn't you say you have some of this last time we talked or whatever? And I was like, yeah, I got whatever. And I looked, and he's like, they've halted trading and they're going to be offering 90 or 95 a share. So which means that I will get, you know, because right now I think it's at 65 a share. I will get the $90 a share for the 30 shares I have.
I expected you to have 30,000 shares.
No, I ain't that kind of loaded.
You should have 30,000 shares, man. Why
I could have 30,000 Dogecoin probably if I really wanted, but no. So I will, you know, like I said, I bought many years ago when it was half the price it was now. So it'll be whatever, and I'll just...
We getting rich?
No, I ain't getting rich off that.
Yeah, we are.
Well, you're not getting anything, let me put it that way.
We're a team here, Johnny.
Not with my investments, Terry Miller.
All right. Also,
I can be on Ricky's team.
So officially and unofficially, coming in from Dust, I appreciate it, from Dustin. Dustin, maybe tomorrow you and I can work on some commentary if my brain's working properly. He says, according to the interview, yeah, he moved to Kansas, still dealing with the arm injury, wasn't really recovering well, and felt he couldn't be where he wanted to be as a player. So that is the cliff notes of what was said on their podcast. You don't have to go listen to it at all that other stuff now. We just gave it to you. All right. We just break it down for you guys. Because if there's one thing we are, it's precise, short, to the point right here on Smashbox.
Everyone's always said it.
Yes. Yes. Just for 4 hours, they said it. So, as I have claimed before, that the times I usually get to consume, or I'm almost even forced to consume something non-disc golf related if I choose, is on a flight to or back from a disc golf destination. And Netflix automatically downloads some stuff. Sometimes I unfortunately just trust the recommendations. Rarely do I go out and seek out stuff. But because I heard so much chatter about the movie, I decided to download it before boarding.
Ooh,
any guesses? It's a Netflix movie.
Yes, I have a guess.
Nope.
I think I'm right.
You probably are.
It's the the one that's got the word up in the title. About the comet?
Yeah, Disney's Up.
No, not
Pixar's Up. Up 2.
Not the old one. Am I right?
Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up. That's what it is. Thank you. And that's the one that
is. I
good guess.
I mean, again, to be fair, it kind of dominated the Facebook.
It's the
Facebook algorithms for a lot of people saying they watched it, do watch it, don't watch it, whatever. But it definitely dominated. I feel like it was maybe 2 weeks ago. Did it maybe come out about 2 weeks ago?
Something like that. And it's gotten mixed reviews. Some people like it. Some people like it's not for everybody's cup of tea, clearly. But I have not watched it personally.
Yeah. And I don't know. You could correct me on this if you wish, but I'll still think I'm right. No. I feel like it's almost an updated version of Idiocracy. Not updated isn't quite the word. It's a more politicized, updated version of Idiocracy. Maybe that's how I think that's a fair assessment.
Okay. Was it as funny as Idiocracy? Because I've heard the one complaint I've heard about it was they take a joke and they run it for 2 hours. They said it's a funny joke, but it gets old at some point. I have not.
Yeah, I can definitely see, depending on either the party lines that you fall or some of your
and this was someone your, that your falls backgrounds on my party lines.
You know, I think there's plenty of jokes and innuendos that are probably flat out missed. I think you have to be. Yeah, there's a certain mind frame that you have to have, I think, to even get. A large part of the jokes. Now, mind you, let me be very clear. I went into it 100% blind. I had no idea the premise. All I heard is everybody saying that you should watch it or posting about it or talking about it. That's all that I knew. And so because I'm just a sheep and I follow peer pressure, I decided to click on it and download it. But I knew nothing of the premise of the movie. From what I thought I had heard, there were just it was a relatively...
Satire.
Huge cast or blockbuster type names that were in the roles in the casting of it. But that's all I knew going into it. And I'll just say that I enjoyed it. So,
okay.
Dustin says he thinks it was a pretty solid 7 out of 10 out there. A couple other reviews coming in from there. Ray says, Terry did awesome work this weekend to film and turn around all 3 rounds this weekend. Very enjoyable watches between football. I appreciate that, Ray. As I said, we've got a little bit more coming out. And really a large part of that was Kyle being able to do some filming and then me each night just buckling down and getting all the edits done. And yeah, it was good. It was fun. Webb says that the movie was interesting and he enjoyed it. Somebody else, DG Stein 80 says, didn't Haley grow up throwing Innova? Is that part of why she switched sponsors? Will there be noticeable improvement?
She did grow up throwing some Innova, as a lot of us here in Wisconsin did. It was more of a prevalent disc than Discraft, which mm-hmm. was kind of the thing. I know Haley's relatively young, so she even came after the big schism, so to speak, in 2012. I think she generally threw mostly Innova growing up. I don't think you're going to see a huge improvement. You might see her go back to some of her more comfortable discs that she had, but we know, you know, Jen Allen, I kind of wanted to point it out tonight, had really, really nailed it on the head when she said the disc she threw the distance competition with wasn't even her disc. It's not like she had this disc all tweaked up to the exact way she wanted it. You know, a stack of 10 discs where she can just really line up and throw. It was a disc that she was familiar with the type of flight, and she's a pro. She can get it to work for her. Haley's going to do the same thing. Haley's going to find these discs. She's going to find what works for her, and she's going to shoot, you know, Haley golf, which means she'll light up some courses and have a great time, and other times she won't. And we'll see it. I don't think you're going to see like a next level Haley due to the discs.
She's not going from a 960 or 970 player to a, you know, 1010 rated player by next week or anything like that due to any of the discs. She may find some newfound or comfortable, I was going to say newfound comfort or comfortable comfort or something of that nature, or get back, you know, something of that nature. But yeah, I don't think you're going to see an overhauled Haley King and her game and her performance. But there is also something to be said of, you know, the excitement, the fresh new plastic, the, or going back or digging out some that you maybe had in a closet that, you know, you had tucked away a few years ago. I'm sure there's all of that excitement and some of those feels and vibes that can come back when you're throwing something that you were once very familiar with. But yeah, I don't think we're going to see a large hiccup one way or another. And all of our pros say it week in and week out. I'm a professional. It's my job to go out and learn these discs and to get them finely tuned and tweaked and ready to go. And that's, you know, most of them don't even want an excuse. I would say give me a full 6 to 9 months of excuses, but most of them actually say, no, I don't want any excuses. However, speaking of learning discs, there was some other news that we didn't talk about in the regular show, which was that Ricky Wysocki put out a little bit of a tweet of sorts that proclaimed he's not sure if he's going to be in the All-Stars weekend.
Oh, no, I think he flat out said he wasn't going to be there.
I thought
there.
He said, I may not be there, because he might skip it to get ready
to
for...
get more base. Well, we know Paul isn't going to play. He flat out said that he will not be playing the All-Star. Okay, yeah, Ricky says he may skip the All-Star.
Yeah, he said, so pumped for Vegas, I may skip the All-Stars event to get more time dialing in my new disc. I want to be 100% ready for Vegas and beyond. So, now, again, that was a tweet today. Lots can change. We are, what, a full month out from the All-Star event? Mm-hmm. So, you know,
I'm sure a few calls will be made. And
I wouldn't go betting your Bitcoin on it one way or another just yet, but... that is something. And then, as you had mentioned, Paul McBeth also mentioned that he is not planning on being there.
No, he flat out just said, I informed them that I will not be there. So, because somebody
spill
was saying...
Spill the tea. Why?
I don't know. I'm sure it's just a matter of him... The All-Star event is a fun event. There's going to be a skills competition. I'm sure there's going to be some golf happening, all this other stuff. But it's not...
hardcore competitive.
It's not a priority to these players. They would rather make sure that they are ready for the season than play this All-Star event.
Okay.
And I think that might be some of the issues that we could see the Pro Tour run into if this All-Star event is going to be a couple weeks before the season starts.
And do you feel like that will remain the same, A, with timing, and B,
I don't know,
regardless with, say, money or other incentives for being there?
I don't know.
Maybe a sponsor obligation or tie-in in the future or anything of that nature.
There could definitely be something like that where a sponsor says, no, we'd really like you at this All-Star event. It helps promote this and that. There's a lot of fans that come. That is definitely something I could see in the future. But right now, as fun as it's going to be, the players did the All-Star event last year, and I think that they it was a first last year. Like, cool, there's an All-Star event.
Mm-hmm.
Now... it's not the first. It's
okay.
It's another All-Star event. Okay, it's another All-Star event. You know, does it shock anybody if in 3 to 4 or 5 years someone's like, I don't really like feel like doing the All-Star event. You know, I'm the third best player in the world, whoever that might be. Just gonna skip it. I can go kayaking that weekend or whatever it might be. Unless there is a significant financial benefit to them going to an All-Star event, I don't foresee it. And we know with Paul and Ricky, their perspectives are different as to what a significant financial incentive would be compared to, we'll even say our guest last year, Chris Dickerson.
Last week, yeah.
Yeah. Did I say last week or last year?
You said last year, but I knew it
last week. Those are different perspectives, but when you have a $100,000, $200,000 a year contract versus a $1 million a year contract.
Sure.
So it just opens it up for another all-star to show up.
Yeah, and someone on the board had just mentioned, Dustin said, that's why it shouldn't be, I'm guessing you're talking about the same subject here, that's why it shouldn't be preseason. I guess the question is, Does it matter? Will that influence? Because I know at the end of the season, you're talking about, you know, the wrapping up the Pro Tour in terms of the actual events, the individual events. Then you're talking about the major as the USDGC. You're talking about a near major in the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championships. And at that point, if you're not physically and emotionally drained, I don't know, you know, there's no other time to be it. So to have it a week or 2 weeks after that, that seems like no one is going to be interested in that. Everybody pretty much is ready to get off the road and to relax and to chill out.
Yeah. It's going to be
difficult.
Does
it need to be in the middle of the year?
No. Because the players will take that opportunity to skip it, to take a weekend off. Like, oh, I don't have to. I'm in the middle of my grind. I can really just take 2 to 3 weeks off now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter when it is. You're going to have players that just will not play it. Okay. Just like any other all-star.
Well, and that's, you know, that's where I start talking about comparing it to other sports. Yeah, what?
Baseball's in the middle of the season. Hockey's in the middle of their season. Mm. NFL's at the end of the season. It's usually the week before the Super Bowl now or the week after. I forget if they just changed it. Anyway, yeah, I mean, you, there's different ones. NBA's in the middle of their season. And every time with every one of those leagues, if it's in the middle of the season, you have players not play for any given reason, whether it's they're burnt out, they're slightly injured, whatever reason or excuse that they're given. If, again, I see it as, and maybe it's cynical of me, there's not a decent financial incentive to be there. There's no reason for these players to put themselves at any sort of risk of injury, even the slightest chance. And this isn't going to be a you know, we're not doing like monster drive competition, my understanding is. I think there's going to be a drive accuracy competition. I don't even know for sure. I've heard three different things. So we'll find out at the time. It would suck to blow out a knee on a temp course 2 weeks before the season starts, and there goes your year.
Yeah.
And I don't foresee that happening. We don't see a lot of injuries in disc golf, but what matters to these players? It's winning the big events. This is not a big event. This is a fun event.
You know, somebody on the board, DG Stein 80, says all expenses stay at a Hilton resort. Sounds awesome for me, even if you don't get paid. Again, you know, to back up your point, John, it is all about perspective because, yeah, that does sound great to so many of us, or that sounds great. Our bar has been raised in disc golf, and what used to really entice and appease these players and or even woo them and win them over, that bar continues to raise. And that's not to say that people aren't doing amazing things. That's clearly not it. It's just it takes a little bit more and more each year. And these guys are getting pulled in more directions. Everybody wants a piece of them for something. And, you know, just like your mainstream sports, there's only so many things you can say yes to, so many commitments you can say yes to. And then, you know, as you're saying, the injuries or sheer exhaustion and everything else, a lot of people just want some time off. I saw someone this weekend really challenging the decision by Chris Dickerson to go out to the Northwest, Pacific Northwest.
Not go out there?
Yeah, about how he wasn't going out there. And then, you know, hey, there's money now, you know, more money that Discraft's helping you out with, as opposed to if that was a problem or not previously with Prodigy or not, but there's more money. And it's like, well, no, we have our dogs. We might want to take a weekend off. Chris doesn't enjoy flying. Even if you do enjoy flying, a lot of our players that live that RV and van life hate the idea of taking everything they want and need and somehow now condensing that to just a few bags for the weekend. And I know some people feel very comfortable with that. But if that's not your lifestyle and that's not what you're used to, because you usually travel with all of, you know, all of your necessary possessions right there, and now you are going to fly to compete in a big time event on the other side of the country, and you hate flying, you do you. Like, yeah. These players should go where they need to go, where they want to go, and I know we want more of them. We want to see all the best players at all the best venues, for all the biggest paydays in all the best situations, but. Man, these players will grow and thrive and mature as they realize that they have to say no to a few things and they have to learn to take a few weekends off here and there. They are going to continue to get just bombarded with opportunities. And yeah.
Tim Kortz, you know, our Patreon winner from last week, brings up a good point that maybe somehow tie it into... they're behind us over there, Terry.
Dang it.
Tied into the DGPT Championship. Maybe that Monday have some sort of skills challenge, or the day or two before the event to kind of... Because you know the players are going to be there for the finale. Sure. That would about be the only way you could guarantee probably all your top players participating, is to tie it into... another event. Sorry. Woo. Yeah. It hit me in the middle.
Ah, gosh. Yeah.
You bore me, Terry.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point. And as someone has also mentioned on the board, that needs to be tied to an exposure element, like broadcast on a major network or something like that. Maybe or maybe not. I know. I mean, of course, that would be a good angle to take. But I also know that, you know, this is intended to give these players kind of a reward or a kickback as well for their performance and or popularity. They're playing for substantial money. They're getting all expenses, you know, paid and taken care of. So they're being treated well in that way. And then it's also going to be another live event that's provided on Disc Golf Network. So it does sound like all positives, and it is. It's just a matter of, are there enough for our most elite players to still be enticed? That's going to be the ultimate question. So, I guess we'll see how it shakes out. But yeah, it is a little, you know, you got to wonder, is Eagle also, you know, interested with his injury and how that's going or not? Is that one more competitive weekend that he may not need, so to speak? I use need in air quotes. We'll see. I did see Todd Rainwater this weekend. When I was out in Arizona, he said he was excited to see things taking place in Tucson, a place where he resides for some parts of the year. And it sounds like it's going to be a phenomenal facility and a great event. So I am excited to be part of the coverage team working with Nate and Val. I'm not sure if Nate Sexton's involved or not, but I know at least Nate and Val are, and I'll be in Bend calling the shots. All right. Galactic Conqueror says, I'm late. Terry, thanks for the Shelly Sharp coverage. AB broke through. Yeah, he did quite well. Players get a free sub in the players pack. Boom, full field. Yeah, Mike, if it was only that easy. I totally agree with you. Some people are talking about how it should be hosted in Hawaii. That sounds ambitious and expensive, but maybe someday that becomes a thing. I don't know. Does Thomas Gilbert want to go back? I mean, if you're just there, like you're in this amazing location, would you suffer through the flight to go back again?
Yes, but I think if you were Thomas Gilbert, you made the All-Star event, you would probably
just hold off on your vacation.
Coordinate your vacation around the All-Star event.
Okay. Taylor says, at what point does the DGPT start dictating these terms? Do this as part of your getting a tour card. I mean, I think the large question within there, the slightly bigger question is, yeah, where do obligations become requirements? What's a requirement? What's an obligation? What's contractual, if any? I mean, you know, you're bringing up a very good point. You know, can you force someone to play golf? What if they have an injury or nursing an injury? Maybe you want them there as an appearance for some, you know, other things. I know one of the components to the All-Star Weekend, it was last year and it's going to be this year, is it's a great time for the Disc Golf Pro Tour and Disc Golf Network to have access to all the players in a designated setting to get some preseason interviews, to get preseason photos, to do a little bit of that kind of media prep work. When you see a lot of the cool assets and things that unfold throughout the year, some of that gets filmed and shot, and the raw footage and raw materials are acquired at this All-Star event. So it's also serving that purpose, you know, so that in two events into the year, and Missy Gannon is destroying everyone on the lead card, and we've got this incredible interview with Missy Gannon where she talks about what she's going to do when she's got a 10-stroke lead. Like, hey, that conveniently is right here on this little, you know, on this hard drive, and it was shot 2 months ago. So there's some things that play into it in that regard as well. Seeing out on the board, Mike says, Ricky selling his Innova shirts on Dollar Disc Golf auction for $150, and people giving him crap because he's a millionaire now.
Oh, he's not quite a millionaire yet. He probably hasn't gotten all those checks. He's got to cash those checks. Again, we've said this before.
What should he be doing with them? Let's answer that. Is there an obligation what you do with your old clothing?
No. I mean, you could give them away. You could raise money for charity. You could do a lot of things. There's no right answer. If Ricky wants to sell them, cool. Maybe he gives that money to family, to an employee, to whatever. I mean, there's no right answer. And whatever he chooses to do, within reason, he shouldn't be giving crap for it. If someone's willing to pay $150 for a Ricky Wysocki Innova shirt, by all means, grab that bag.
Yeah.
It's, I don't care if you're a millionaire or a billionaire. It's, you know, usually you get to one by being frugal and fiscal, or, you know, it helps out. I have no problem with whatever Ricky does with his shirts. So
yeah. And Mike also says,
none of my business.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't like it, don't buy one. I mean, that's a pretty simple solution, yeah, right? Don't bid on it. If you think it's not worth that much, then don't bid on it.
Someone said there's no shortage of buyers. There you go.
Yeah, that kind of is an answer there. And if you're not doing anything wrong or nefarious in the process.
Correct.
I mean,
that's what I said, within reason.
Mike also says that Dickerson sold his whole lot of clothes also. Didn't see him taking as much flack. I know shortly after our podcast with Chris last week, he was he had posted saying he's looking to sell his Prodigy, I don't want to say allotment, everything he's acquired via Prodigy, and I forget how many discs it exactly was, but he was looking to sell it as a lot. He didn't necessarily want to piece them out and probably go through the process of selling one off, you know, dozens or hundreds of times over, and I'm not sure where that actually stands.
There's a business every year. You have someone who, you know, we got players who are switching sponsors that want to get rid of their old stuff. Let's start up a disc golf resale company where you take their lot and you resell it. And if they want to piece it out, or versus a giant lot, and you take a small cut of that, then the players don't have to deal with it. You drive to Tennessee. You're like, all right, Chris, all right, here's your 250 Prodigy discs that you've had, and your 20 Prodigy shirts. I'm going to package these all up. And how do you want them done? Do you want it done as a lot? What are you looking to get for them? Or would you rather see me piece them out and then you take a middleman? Because we're going to have players switch sponsors every year now, practically.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's a business idea for somebody right here.
You're clever.
On Smashbox.
And where, like, what method would they use to ship these discs? I gave it away already. They would probably need a good
disc in a box.
Yeah, shipping solution, like my disc in a box. They would probably want to get a cardboard box that's adjustable. So if you have one disc, you could fold it to just fit one. If you had two mids or maybe even three drivers.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a solution. This guy's got it for you.
I had this thought, and that's usually not a good thing.
Nope.
If you order a exclusive disc, we'll say, from a manufacturer,
okay,
how much would it matter to you if it came in a really, really cool custom box? Not, I mean, I would say three or four levels up from your disc in a box. Like an actual...
There is no level up.
I'm just saying. Like an actual...
Yeah, like a... Okay.
Almost like a case. You know, you open up the box and there's padding.
This has been done, yep.
Has it? I don't recall offhand. Okay. I don't order a lot of stuff, clearly. Yeah. But just almost a box for that specific collector disc.
Yep. So. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really going after that niche market of, hey, you want something that's unique, that there, you know, is not in mass quantities or mass production, and then it, you know, the casing and the presentation of it is is seemingly as cool or as elusive or exclusive as the disc itself. Yeah, I totally agree.
And Ray nails it, like fancy packaging, like an Apple or the new Google products that you get, like the very tightly fit box that you open up and it just has it's presented there for you in a very nice way that you could almost just open it up and set it out on a counter as a piece of art or something along those lines, depending on what you're going for in your particular house. I think that is I think that's a market that we don't see enough of.
Yeah, and I think it takes some really good designers.
It does.
To, you know, really make that worth the time and the money. But yeah, there's definitely an opportunity for something like that to be done. And I think we'll continue to get closer to that as we find these one-off markets, these exclusive discs, these limited runs. I totally agree that those are all possibilities for sure. So, along those lines, you're of the time frame, clearly, like myself, hence the play on it.
Thanks for calling me old.
My disc in a box, the reference.
Yes.
Do you think inherently just saying, hey, my disc in a box or that company or that branding, do you think inherently that carries a negative connotation?
No.
Well, good. Then you should argue with the guy that posted on my... the comment, and I know you can't appease them all, I get that, but he said every time he sees either the logo or my reference to it, he called it my D in B, said it's cringeworthy and he doesn't like it. And I thought to myself, and I can understand that. My first response was, hey, not all brands are not for all people, so we can start there. I'm good with that. But secondly, there's plenty of people who don't even get the reference. Like, the Saturday Night Live. Yeah, it's very dated.
I mean, that's got to be, what, almost 10 years old now?
I think it's more than that. I think it's actually more than that.
Sure.
I don't want to type it into Google, but I will. I feel like 2009.
Okay, so 12 years old. 13
years old,
yeah. Okay, so.
And it just, and I get it. I am not ever setting out to be wildly over the top offensive or in your face or anything like that. But I feel like there are, in fact, I'll go as far as saying I mentioned it to somebody the other day. They had no clue, like, the connection between the Saturday Night Live skit and then the play that I was making on it.
I mean, once if you see the logo.
Sure, but even some people might. Still may not know the skit itself, depends on the generation.
Here's what I'll say. If you don't know the skit and you see the logo, I would think, like, what the is his logo? Like, why is it this? Obviously, knowing the history and whatnot, it makes a lot of sense. But if I didn't know the skit and I saw your logo, I'd be like, what the hell is this guy? Where did this logo come from?
Well, at any rate, I thought it was funny that was one of all the things I say and do. That's where somebody got a little worked up in the comments of my YouTube section this weekend. Another funny comment from this weekend, not on my posted on my page, but we were all Shelley Sharp Memorial Course at the event. Lots of people walking along. We're kind of near the 13 and 14 interchange, which is always a congested spot to be. Tons of people watching golf, maybe a couple hundred people near the sidewalk. We're watching the live golf this weekend. One of our lead card players was getting ready to putt. Some guy buzzing through on a bike, a very popular bike path, walking path, said something to the effect of, what are all you effing idiots watching somebody throw a frisbee when football's on? Or why aren't you're not watching football, but you're watching this? It was something of that nature. And so basically was making fun of or screaming at the hundreds of gallery members
for watching one sport versus another sport.
Yeah, that were watching live disc golf.
As opposed to sitting in their house and watching television?
As opposed to watching what was being played on the television.
Well,
it was just such a funny heckle as he was which is ironic because
Arizona,
he wasn't watching it either. He was on a bike riding through the park, so he was yelling
And of all things, Arizona, which is where you were, was in the playoffs in the NFL, but it was a Monday night game. They were playing with the Rams, where they got demolished.
Oh, spoilers, bro.
Spoilers.
I was going to watch that.
The post-production of it. So it's not even like, in theory, their local team was playing. Local team was playing the next night. It was Monday night game. So, whatever. People are dumb, Terry.
They are. I know. It was just the humor of a guy riding through the sea of people that were watching the final round, and his heckle or his call-out was essentially complaining and or heckling that we weren't watching football, but they were sitting there watching live disc golf, and he didn't approve of that, apparently. So it was kind of funny because a lot of people heard it. We're like, you realize you're not watching football right now either, you idiot.
Maybe he was listening to it.
He wasn't watching it.
No, I don't know.
Anyway, maybe he had the Google. Yeah, he probably had the Google glass on or something.
No,
he was watching it.
No one,
how are those doing?
Not good. I think they're actually talking about re-releasing a different version of it for business. But it's a whole nother.
I'd love
discussion.
For it to read my emails to me while open.
Your phone does that.
Yeah, I know, but my phone's not attached to my face.
Okay.
Is that one of your favorite technologies that hasn't taken off? I mean, you wear glasses. Don't you want your whole life like even closer to your eyeballs?
I don't.
You don't want to have to look anywhere else. It's right there.
Yeah. Mark Hill on the board says, not seeing any comments except those made by Smashbox. Most of the people are commenting on YouTube. I see the full list of comments. They might actually be seeing yours, Mark, but Facebook might be different where it doesn't post them to Facebook. I know Twitch and YouTube tend to go back and forth. So you can find us on Facebook, obviously, YouTube, and Twitch. So those three places that we simulcast to. Real quick, I want to talk about Skip Ace Fantasy Disc Golf.
Oh, yeah.
Big update.
Where the real players play.
Where the real players play. No, where you pretend to play. Big update coming this week. We're adding another new format this year, which will be the season-long draft, kind of like traditional fantasy football or fantasy sports, where you pick a team with a bunch of other guys or girls, and you get that team throughout the entire season, add and drop players. Every person gets you're basically battling your league. In the past, we've always done redraft leagues, which were every week you get to just use your salary cap and pick whomever you want that fits into the cap. This season, we're adding another feature. One of the things that I just kind of announced on the website is we're going to actually be, for better or worse, people, we're actually going to be charging a little bit to play.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you capitalistic, money-hungry, greedy SOB.
We've got a couple different ways to play, and if you want to have specific custom leagues done, it will cost you $10 for the year.
Oh, my gosh. I don't have $10.
I know you don't, Terry. I took it from you.
Damn it.
But as always, we will offer the free version, which is the traditional, what we used to call the standard league, which is, you can create your own league. It has all the DGPT events and majors that qualify. And I say that because USDGC is always a little iffy because they don't have women, so it messes it up a little bit. So, and with a specific salary cap, but you don't get any of the custom options. With creating a custom league, you get all of those particular features, as well as being able to change out, add alternate players. And if one of your players decides to withdraw, throw a fit, not show up, who knows what these players do. You can edit individual events. You can edit your league settings. Again, that's going to be part of the draft as well, is going to be that feature. So look for that. If you're listening to this on Friday, it should probably already be out. I just kind of went through it with my developer, who knew nothing about fantasy sports, and cleared up a few of the verbiage that he had chosen when we went through the walkthrough. I'm like, no, you don't call it that. It's not, you don't trade with free agency. You add or drop. You trade with another player, which we don't have, and we'll have that hopefully next year. But there's some goofy things that we had to go through, because he's kind of your... He's a phenomenal phenomenal guy out of Utah, but just not a sports person. I don't want to pigeonhole him in as like a typical tech kid, but he's definitely much younger than us and very good at what he does. So anyway, take a look at that. That's skipace.com. If you're interested in playing fantasy sports or fantasy disc golf, by all means, please go out there and sign up. I'm going to be sending out a mass email newsletter in the next 2 or 3 days once we get this all finalized. So, yay me.
Nice work. That's the one complaint, I guess, I would say all these years that I've had about Skip Ace.
Is that I wasn't charging you?
Yeah, is that I wasn't able to give you enough money in enough ways. And I appreciate you making that possible.
I want to make it possible, Terry, for you particularly to give me more money.
That sounds like a plan. And speaking of giving money, Mark Hill. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. Just chimed in with the $5 super chat. Thank you so much. This is going to be a quick tangent, and I feel like it's worth repeating every few months. We talk about our Patreon, which we're going to have a giveaway for. Our Patreon account, unless you change something, is there's one for the Disc Golf Guy, which is primarily my life as a disc golf content producer for post-production. And then there's also the one we do that is us joined here as the show and all of the things we do here for the podcast. Both of our Patreon accounts in both scenarios are set up in a creative, a creator per creation basis, meaning every time we do something, if we post it to there, that's when your pledge as a Patreon supporter comes to us. If we don't do things, you don't get charged, so to speak. And Patreon, a number of years ago now, created an alternative to that and said, hey, you can just pledge money toward an entity or a creator, and you can make it a monthly amount, and regardless of what's posted or not, and maybe even yearly, regardless of what they post, you're going to support them on a monthly or on a yearly basis. There's no right or wrong way to do it. Everybody has different initiatives, goals, and agendas. But both of our channels, both the Disc Golf Guy and Smashbox combined, we do it on a per content basis. So
if we're not making anything, you're not getting charged.
Yeah. And the best part about that is you can support it at any level you wish. So if you really love the podcast and you're like, hey, that is worth $1 every time I hear those idiots, you can do that. And then you can say, wait, there's 5 weeks in some months. I don't want to give them $5. I want to cap it at $4. You can actually set a cap so that no matter what we do, it won't go over that limit. And that's the same on the Disc Golf Guy channel, in that some months I may put out 4 videos, and usually I will only have half of those count toward the actual pledging. And so if I put out a front and a back of round one, I will just charge, I use that in air quotes, for one of those two, usually the front. And then round two, I do the same. Some months, I may put out 29 videos. I do 14 and a half rounds of coverage, which may happen. But I put out 29 videos. In theory, 14 and a half of those would count to you. But you said, hey, I wanted to give you $2 a video, but I want to cap it at $12. So it would do exactly that. Once it hits $12, even if I post 39 more videos, it will still only charge you at whatever you capped it at. So very rarely do we go over these details, and I hope that's not too much to randomly consume here in the middle of the after show. But I wanted to make that clarification. We appreciate at any level anyone that supports us. So thank you very much. But I want to put that distinction out there just kind of as a refresher. I received a few new Patreon subscribers over the weekend. Somebody came in at a large amount, and I sent them a message and said, hey, I just want to make sure you understand how you're doing it. It's charged per creation and you can set a cap. And whether he did or not, is up to him. But I wanted to make sure he knew it so that if I do put out 29 videos this month, he doesn't get this ridiculous charge.
$17,000? What are you?
I know you were busy, but I didn't. So I wanted to make that distinction for everyone. And again, just double check when you're looking at any Patreon supporters, whether it's another disc golf content producer or someone who draws comics or makes art or does anything else on that platform. Just make sure you know how they have it set up so that you don't get some crazy a charge at the end of the month. And then, because then you'll probably get mad at the creator and you really probably shouldn't. I just want you to know there's different ways to go about it. So speaking of
Patreon support, as Terry said, patreon.com/smashboxtv. Everybody that donates $1, which is the minimum you can donate. So everyone that donates to Smashbox TV gets entered into a weekly contest. And a weekly giveaway, Terry. Dang. Not even a contest. It's a giveaway.
Jeez.
Contest implies...
All you have to do is be breathing.
Yeah.
And even that,
don't check.
We're sending it to your house.
If the check cashes, we're sending you some stuff. And this week, we're going to be giving away some Shelly Sharp discs, did I see?
Yes. Thank you to our friends over at Spinners on the Green, Ashley, Keith, Alex, Danny, all amazing humans that have been over at Spinners on the Green forever and putting on the event this last week, and of course the Shelly Sharp Memorial. And then they are your host and sponsors and whatnot for everything that you'll see at the Memorial Championships at the end of February, beginning of March. So I've got two different discs, and I'll let you choose. If you reach out to me, you're the winner. I'll let you choose. I've got a couple of different Innova discs that I believe I had snagged that have the Shelly Sharp logo on them, the Shelly Sharp Memorial logo on them.
So if you want to be eligible, please by all means support us at Patreon. And right now, Terry, we have 178 people that are eligible for our giveaway. How do we want to...
We're going first number.
First number
tonight.
Do you have a preference on how we sort the names? Right now, I have them sorted by first name or by name. I can't do first and second name, but based on how the thing's set up. Do you have a particular preference, Terry, or should we just go by name?
Oh, I think we should sort them by their overall contributions.
Low to high, high to low.
Low to high.
All right. So I will sort them by overall contributions. Right now, you say it's the very first number, and our first number generated between 1 and 178 people that are eligible is the number 170.
So low to high. So this means
170.
If sorted by low to high, this means this would be a likely either a longtime Patreon supporter or someone who gives a lot but hasn't been doing it for very long. Either way, this is someone that has clearly supported us in a wildly significant fashion, and we thank you guys so much.
Disc Baron, Digital Green Room.
Heck yeah. Thank you so much to Disc Baron, a great disc golf pro shop out of Michigan. Thank you guys so much. Also, a contributor outside of Patreon has graciously supported us and financially and does what they can to promote us. So we appreciate it. Thank you so much over at Disc Baron. We'll send a disc out to you, whether you guys hang it on the wall or you resell it in your pro shop, make some of your money back. Either way, we don't mind. We appreciate the support. And yes, you often hear us call out the Disc Baron Digital Green Room because they do step up and support us even additionally with finances. So thank you so much.
Luke Turnbull says, oh, I feel like I might have been close. You were number 161, Luke.
Oh, Luke. So we're not saying step up your game, but
we're not.
We appreciate and love all of you Patreon, and quite honestly, we've said this before and I say it with every video I put out, if it weren't for the support that we receive via Patreon, we wouldn't be able to continue doing what we're doing.
Every Tuesday.
Helps keep the lights on, as I think
hours.
They say.
Yeah, these lights right here. See, if you don't support us...
This is what happens. The people are like, oh, we like that better anyway. Those guys look better that way. No, but seriously, events like the Shelly Sharp on my channel wouldn't happen. And additional giveaways and things that we do here week in and week out wouldn't happen without that support. So we very much appreciate it. Yeah, anything else before we any movies, music, games, pop culture, deaths, marriages, anything else to speak of here, Johnny?
I don't think so. I think my wife and I are going to start watching a new series.
This sounds hot. Tell me about it.
We're going to exciting in the Van Derzen household.
So
Righteous
hot.
Gemstones.
Oh, that does sound hot.
HBO comedy. With you remember the gentleman that Eastbound and Down, the pitcher?
yeah. He makes me laugh just thinking about
just
him.
Thinking
what
about
a character.
Him. Yep, he is in a series along with a lot of other famous people about a family that runs a mega church. It's on HBO. I think from there it's I've heard nothing but good things, so they just started their second season, so my wife and I will do we'll probably watch that over the next few weeks. That's about it.
I like it.
Yeah, it should be fun. I think a lot of people... Yeah, Danny McBride, thank you, is the name.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people, some people say it's the best show on TV.
Wow.
It has gotten very good reviews. It's very funny, my understanding is. So I'm excited to dig in.
Platform again?
HBO.
Yeah.
Dang it.
I got to find a way to steal that. I mean, I got to subscribe.
Bro, Smashbox has an account.
Oh, okay.
They actually, we literally do because it comes with our AT&T fiber that comes in. So.
Damn you, you've been holding out on me.
I have not.
Yeah,
I've
just
been using it.
I just keep thinking of him saying, I'm effing in and you're effing. Oh, my God. Yeah. I want to go back and watch some more Eastbound and Down.
Rewatch the first season, which is the best season. Yeah. After that, it's a little sketchy at times. But overall, yes, that is Eastbound and Down was very funny.
There's a lot of stuff I got to eventually get around to watching.
Yeah, you still are nowhere near
Ted Lasso.
And yeah, you haven't watched Ted
Lasso.
There's
a lot of stuff. Someday.
Letterkenny, you fell off of?
Yeah, I did. I did, but I very much enjoyed what I did watch, but I'll have to get back on it. So many things. I just need to take more long trips so I can actually be detached from the internet for a little while and consume some more stuff. All right, guys, we're gonna call it. We gotta thank you so much for joining us. We gotta thank Jen Allen. Make sure you're checking out the PDGA Radio podcast and all the great things that they're doing over there. Thank you to the PDGA. We've been longtime fans and supporters. We'll continue to be exciting things taking place. Obviously well over the 200,000 numbers and looking forward to more growth here in 2022 and beyond. We'll call it. Stay tuned. Disc Golf Guy channel is going to have a ton. I literally just re-released the back nine of the Chase card of Final Round. I've got a special Kale piece. I've got FPO coverage coming. We've got Jubilee action out of Alabama. We got Bay County stuff coming. So much disc golf. And we're just a few weeks away from kicking off the 2022 season on the largest of large scales. So I'll keep you satiated until then. For Jen Allen, along with Johnny V and myself, Terry Miller, the Disc Golf Guy, this has been Podcast 386. We love you all, and we'll see you next week when you step inside the Smashbox.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.